new poll is good news for Mayor Lenny Curry, but shows a deep divide over Confederate monuments and football protests. Good morning and live from Studio 5. This is First Coast Connect on 89.9, and thanks for listening. I'm Melissa Ross, and we're always live at 9. Also, make sure to get our podcast through iTunes or the WJCT app. Just ahead, where Duval County voters are on everything from NFL protests to removing those local Confederate monuments. It's all in a new UNF poll, and we are a city divided. Get on the line now and let us know where you stand at 549-2937. Then later, how venture capital firm PS27 Ventures is staking the local leaders of tomorrow. Plus, the music and the folksy fun of the Suwannee Roots Festival happening this weekend. All of that and more ahead this hour. But first this morning, sharp divisions along racial and party lines in a new UNF poll out this week. A new survey of registered voters in Duval County from UNF's Public Opinion Research Institute finds more than half of registered voters oppose removing Confederate statues from local public spaces. Opposition is strongest among Republicans, 83%, and white voters, 68%. Meanwhile, 62% of local black voters would like to see those monuments go. There's a lot more to look at in the new poll, including how local voters feel about NFL protests during the national anthem, what they think about local public officials, even NFL owner Shad Khan. Mike Binder runs the school's polling lab, and he joins us now with more and digs into the numbers for us. Hey, Mike, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
It's always great to have you on the show when you do another one of these polls and look into the numbers. Always fascinating to get a snapshot of where local voters are. It's 549-2937. Let us know where you stand on all these hot local issues, 549-2937. Or go online, send your emails to firstcoastconnect@wjct.org, tweets to @MelissaInJax, or you can weigh in on Facebook. All right. So the majority of voters in Duval County, more than half, about 53%, say they want to keep the Confederate statues and monuments in place. About 38% overall want them removed. However, a majority of black residents want them to be removed.
Right. And that's where the action's at. The racial division and also the partisan division between Democrats and Republicans is stark on this issue. And that's not surprising. This
right.
is something that
not
we've
surprising.
Seen nationally. But it's something locally that I think city council and the political leaders of the city need to be aware of. And this is not an issue I think that's going to go away. I also don't think it's an issue that is going to quickly be resolved peacefully and happily. So, but it's going to be tough. But I'd like to see this thing get done without a lot of problems for the city.
Right. City Council President Anna Roche made a strong statement in support of removing the monuments and faced some pushback. Not surprising now, looking at these polling numbers.
Right. And that's one of the things that when council members or politicians at all do something outside of the box and they get pushback, you don't know if it's just a vocal minority or if it's more representative of a larger group. And that's one of the reasons why we did this poll, to see where the city stood on this issue, because obviously there's some people that are very excited about it. There's a gentleman outside of City Hall regularly carrying his Confederate flag.
Okay, so a majority of white voters say keep the monuments, a majority of black voters say get rid of the monuments. A strong majority of Republicans, 83%, want to keep the monuments. And a majority of Democrats, 56%, want them to go. Now, let's look at this issue of the national anthem protests. Where do the numbers fall on that in this NFL city?
Again, it's not unlike the Confederate statues in that Republicans are more likely to be impacted, saying that they're less likely to watch games or less likely to go to games. And if you look at them compared more likely to less likely to watch or go, Republicans have a net of over 50% losing that stuff. So the Democrats, on the other hand, are more likely to go to games, more likely to watch. Again, this partisan split on this issue pervades. And I think that it's fascinating.
And throughout all of this, you find that Mayor Lenny Curry has a strong job approval number, 69% approval, which may or may not be tied to the fact that he hasn't taken a stand on these issues, a strong stand one way or the other, these extremely divisive issues.
And he's managed to do that historically. When the HRO was a big issue in the past year or so, he stepped back and let city council do that. But his approval rating is not just among Republicans. Democrats have a positive approval rating of him as well. And I think that's saying something for the city, that a Republican mayor who was chair of the Republican Party of Florida, so it's not like he was apolitical mm-hmm. before he got to this office, has such strong support across the aisles.
A few other news and notes in the numbers. State Attorney Melissa Nelson has a strong approval rating, 55%. Jacksonville residents say crime is the most important issue facing the city. And 65% of voters say the city is doing too little to reduce homelessness. Interesting.
Right. And you know, what those answers are to the homeless problem is wide and varied. But I think the fact that so many people view it as an issue and think that the city needs to be doing more, I think is another thing that the council needs to be aware of and the mayor needs to be aware of.
And despite the controversy over the protests, you also asked about Shad Khan. 65% of voters around town approve of Shad Khan.
And the head coach as well.
And the head coach.
Right, which is not necessarily something you would have expected a year or two or three ago.
Right.
A couple wins do a lot. But I think that speaks to the people saying that they're not going to watch games or go to games, but they still approve of the ownership, who was locked arms with his team in London just a couple of weeks ago. I think there's a division there.
Huh. So maybe that was a tempest in a teapot?
Perhaps. Huh. Perhaps. We'll see how this goes. We actually asked about Shad Khan 4 or 5 years ago when he first came on the scene, and he had approval at 72%. So it's still very high, and the city likes him.
Okay, the city is divided, according to UNF pollster Mike Binder, on these divisive issues over the NFL, Confederate monuments, lots of calls. Tim is in Atlantic Beach. Hello, Tim. Good morning. Go ahead.
Good morning to you all. I want to have just a little bit of quick fun with my respected colleague at UNF. I want to say that I conducted a research of my own about Confederate monuments, and my results found 100%. Wanted to remove the Confederate monuments.
So you talked to yourself.
No, actually, it was my household. It was a household of four.
Oh, very scientific.
I'm having a little bit of fun here, but what I'm trying to get to is I want to make sure that our listeners understand that. Now, I read the article you had posted this morning. I read it was a sample size of 512, 516, somewhere in that neighborhood.
Yeah, a little over 500.
Okay, so this is a good, do you want to hear about the methodology, Tim? Do you want to hear about the polling methodology?
Well, just the percentage, 512 out of a million. No, and I've done statistical research. I've done quite a bit of that myself, so I understand it still has integrity. But to be fair, I think people should acknowledge that it doesn't necessarily, because of, you know, by chance, we don't necessarily have the pulse of it. I would have loved to have taken the survey myself. But just, you know, fairly worn, 512 out of a million isn't everybody.
Okay.
Right. And that's something that a lot of people, if they see public opinion polls that they don't like or they disagree with, it's why didn't I get called? How come I'm not part of this? And it's only 500 out of 600,000 registered voters. How does that work? Well, we randomly selected registered voters in the city of Duval County. We attempted to call them, and our numbers are reflective of the partisan registration, the racial registration, the age and the gender, and even to some extent the education of the city's registered voter population. Is there some chance that we just happened to get a group that was more supportive of keeping the statues in place than the writ large? It's certainly possible.
We're getting questions about this on Facebook. Do you only use landlines?
No, we do not. In fact, this survey was 80-20 cell phone to landline.
Okay.
I suspect inside a couple of years, we won't be using landlines at all.
Okay. Christine in Palm Coast. Hello, Christine.
Hello, good morning.
Go ahead.
I wanted to mention that with the brutal history of a lot of these statues and monuments, there's no connection between then and now. They had different religious and political beliefs then. And with all of the division that we have in our country now, I think that if some of these monuments and statues are giving pain to people and igniting the people that are on the racist side and brutal side of life, I think they should be removed and put in museums.
Thanks, Christine. And obviously, that's a minority view overall, according to your polling, about 40% overall.
Right, but a strongly held view. And that's the problem with this issue, is that there are strong emotions on both sides of it. And getting folks to come together and come to a resolution on this is not going to be easy.
Wells in Atlantic Beach. Hello, Wells.
Good morning, Melissa, and good morning to your guest. Just a couple of points I'd like to make about polls. I've been going to a number of city council meetings regarding the removal of these Confederate statues. I'm 71 years old, and I remember the polls that were taken in black communities across this country in the 60s. And the question that was asked was, are you satisfied with your condition in this country? And at the time, we know segregation still existed. And a lot of these polls showed that people were satisfied, which to me was kind of out of line with the fact that there were marches and protests going on across the country. The other thing I'd like to say is I think polls are used in some respects to silence people who oppose whatever it is that poll was taken for. In my opinion, the statue issue, the monument issue, for those that I've heard speak at city council meetings who want to keep these statues and names, is really a situation of education and knowledge. And I want to say to those people, nobody's really listening to the African-American community. And I see it as a real point of disrespect regarding what the Africans went through in this country and what we continue to go through in this country. And I think they should reevaluate their stance. I think they should read some books. I think they should really talk to people in the black community. I, for one, will continue to push for the removal of these statues. I would suggest that people watch a video that's online called Heritage Equals Hate, and it really goes into in depth why these statues should be removed. I think our schools are neglectful in the way they teach history. I know that here in Jacksonville, history is taught about the Civil War, is that it was a war fought for states' rights, not slavery.
All right, Wells, thanks for that. And there is a comment on our Facebook page, Mike, from Jeff, sort of echoing that what he had to say. Jeff says, much like men commenting when it comes to the reproductive rights of women, why do white people believe they have any credibility when it comes to these issues? We can have our opinion, but we really shouldn't assume any authority.
Right. And the other side of that argument is, this is our history. This is who we were. And this is who we are because of our history. And we should celebrate that. If you want to start talking about drawing this line and continuing to go down it, what about somebody like a George Washington, a famed slave owner? Do we erase him from history? I don't know that that's the greatest of arguments, but these are things that people believe and things that people think about. And that's the other side of this. At what point do you stop this? But I think this highlights the deep emotional divisions that this issue has really struck a chord with on both sides and in both communities.
When you did this poll, was it a more heated poll-taking experience than usual?
It actually wasn't that bad. The NFL stuff that we asked about got some people a little bit excited.
More so, really.
Yeah, and again, it's not everybody. Most people are unaffected by what's happening there. They go to watch their games. It's football. They don't really care about that stuff. Not everybody, I know this comes as a surprise, especially to your listeners, not everybody cares dramatically about politics. It doesn't affect their lives. They go about their business. They go to work. They take care of their families, and they watch some TV at night, and then they go to bed and do it again. But the football stuff got people riled up a little.
Yeah, yeah. Barbara along Kernan and Atlantic. Hi, Barbara.
Hi. I tried to call as soon as I heard, because this is such a timely topic. I definitely agree with the last caller. He was excellent. Also, I question the validity of the poll. I was not polled, and none of my friends, they would have mentioned it, because we are sort of political, and none of us were polled. And I could tell you that there are a large number of people that I know that think the statue should come down. They should go into a museum because they are part of history. And as far as the football players, I would kneel because I respect our flag. And I respect what our flag is supposed to stand for. And our flag is supposed to stand for equality for all men, just like the Statue of Liberty stands for it. And so that's why I would kneel in the same circumstances. And I think the football players are great, and I support the Jaguars and all the other teams, and I support the owner of the Jaguars. I think he has really done a lot for Jacksonville. And that's all I wanted to say. And God bless you all, and I love your show, Melissa.
Thanks, Barbara. Thanks for calling, too.
I'll say this. We obviously didn't call everybody, because if we called all million people in the area or 600,000-ish registered voters, we'd still be calling and we'd use up all of the money in the state to do that. But I will say this, 40% of 600,000 people is 250,000 people. So yes, there are a lot of people that want to see these statues come down, and I don't want to just ignore those folks because more than half said they want to see them stay put.
Omar in Riverside. Hey, Omar.
All right, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
So a few comments. I have a few comments here. So just listen over the last few callers. It's kind of shocking that people are questioning the poll. I mean, to me, although it was a smaller amount of people, obviously, to give, it's not going to be the entire city, but it seems pretty accurate. I mean, just based on what the comments that you've heard and things you've seen online and the way people are reacting, to me, it seems pretty accurate and according with the rest of the city. Secondly, as far as the removal of the monuments, I mean, yes, of course, I'm in agreement to remove them. I'm a black man from Jacksonville, fourth generation. I come from a bit of a different background. The other day you had the football player on, and he had a very specific kind of story. And I think a lot of the times it can come across – I come from an educated background. So I'm a fourth generation college graduate as an African-American in the South. And, I've grown up with people and seen things and heard things my entire life and known activists and known people that have fought and said these same things. And then it takes, a group of, athletes essentially to bring it to the forefront, which I understand that they appeal to the mass public. But it is a bit kind of insulting when you take people that have doctorates in political science who have been around and saying these same things for, God knows how many generations now. It can be, it's a bit insulting to the other side of the black community. Like, sometimes I think we've stressed this, kind of downtrodden single mother, pull up by the bootstraps. You know, there's a lot of people who have been fighting and who have done things and educated themselves to actually be able to have a positive impact and be able to have a respectable standpoint within the city. So, I don't know. That's kind of my comment. I had it from the other day, but I'm glad you talked about this again.
Okay.
And the NFL players, I mean, why not? It's their choice to do it. Who cares?
Okay, Omar. Yeah. Gotcha. Thank you. And the complete results up on your website at UNF's Public Opinion Research Lab. Really interesting. And I think people were interested to see where the community stood on this. So, as always, good to have you on the program,
thanks,
Mike.
Thanks for having me. And if you're interested in getting into some of the subgroups, we have all the divisions by race, gender, partisanship, et cetera, up there as well.
Mike Binder runs UNF's Public Opinion Research Lab. Much more still ahead later. The Suwannee Music Festival kicks off today. We'll head over to Live Oak to listen to some of that music. But up next, marking Breast Cancer Awareness Month, as two local breast health experts share new information and technology women need to know about. That's next.
WJCT's Jaguar Season Parking is still available. Be part of the coolest tailgating downtown. Includes paved space, indoor bathroom access. Contact Holly Manuel at 358-6311 or log on to wjct.org/parking. Reserve your space today. Hey, Car Talk fans. If you're wondering why Click and Clack aren't here, NPR is no longer distributing the best of Car Talk. The good news is you can continue to listen to the podcasts of the program at cartalk.com. We hope you enjoy WJCT's new weekend schedule. For more information about the new programs, visit wjct.org/weekends.
I'm Stephen Dubner, host of Freakonomics Radio. Every week, Freakonomics Radio explores the hidden side of everything, from what our Google searches reveal about us, to whether the American dream is still alive, to whether rich people are really more selfish than poor people. I hope you'll join me Sunday at 1 p.m. on 89.9 WJCT.
Hi, I'm Mayor Lenny Curry. Knowing your evacuation zone is critical for your safety in a weather emergency. Visit a public library to get your 2017 Hurricane Preparedness Guide. Stay informed with real-time updates at jaxready.com or download the Jax Ready app to also identify your specific zone and important information. Keep your radio on 89.9, the designated emergency broadcaster for Northeast Florida.
This segment is brought to you by GuideWell Insurance Agency, exclusively serving members of Florida Blue.
Welcome back. Well, they are two leading breast health experts here on the First Coast, and one of them is also here to talk about the needs to serve the working uninsured in this area. October marks Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and right now we're pleased to welcome Layla Samian, MD, breast surgical oncologist with UF Health. Good morning.
Good morning.
And Catherine Pearson Payton, MD. She's the founder of Mammosphere, but she's also this month's Woman with Heart for Volunteers in Medicine. Good to see you, Dr. Payton.
Thank you so much.
You're a radiologist, and you're also the founder of Mammosphere, which stores and exchanges mammograms and breast imaging studies in the cloud. And so on Volunteers in Medicine's website, you are this month's Woman with Heart. And that means you get to wear this amazing heart-shaped diamond necklace to spotlight the work of volunteers in medicine all month long. Pretty amazing.
It is a wonderful honor, and I'm just thrilled to be a part of this organization, even just as a month of October spokesperson. Volunteers in Medicine is a terrific organization that provides free medical care to the working uninsured members of our community. And they have just done a terrific job of providing this care with volunteer physicians and volunteer medical staff and personnel. And here we are in Breast Cancer Awareness Month with many of these women unable to obtain a mammogram. And that's one of our measures for screening the breasts and keeping it healthy and keeping our working citizens healthy. And so Volunteers in Medicine is honoring me and providing this diamond heart necklace to women, one a month, and this necklace will be raffled off as a raffle item in February at their luncheon. And so anyone wanting to wear this beautiful 2-carat diamond necklace can go onto the website and purchase a raffle ticket. They're only 100, so it's pretty good odds.
And they get to have a chance to walk off with this beautiful necklace. And as you mentioned, with the state of health and insurance in flux in this country right now, and so many working people uninsured or underinsured, Volunteers in Medicine really does stand in the gap in this community and help people access insurance and access care like mammograms, for example, and so many other types of care. And it is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And so, Layla Samian, you're a breast oncologist with UF Health. We want to take a moment to talk about breast health and steps women can take right now to make sure that they're reminded to get their mammograms. And what else do you want to remind women about this month?
Well, I think prevention is a very important topic that doesn't get as much attention as it should. You know, we can identify breast cancer early. We can treat it pretty well, and most women survive. But most women probably prefer not to go through the
process
at all.
Sure.
So one of the things that I want to express is things that we have control over in our lives to reduce our risk of cancer. And there are things we don't really have control over. But for things that we do have control over is lifestyle issues. For example, maintaining a healthy diet, high fruits and vegetables, maintaining a normal weight and avoiding weight gain, and exercising, avoiding alcohol and smoking, and also getting the recommended screenings for your health. Things we don't really have control over is our family history, genetic makeup, when we're going to have our menstrual, begin menarche and menopause and hormone exposure. But in some women who are at risk, again, sometimes having extra estrogen on board or hormone replacement can, if you happen to get a breast cancer while on hormone replacement, it can maybe make it grow faster. So knowing your risk factors and also keeping healthy is half the battle.
Yeah, it really is. And that can't be said enough. And then, but are there new treatments on the horizon? Obviously, we want to stay as healthy as possible. But if you do find yourself in the position of seeing someone like you, what do women need to know? What is out there that's new?
There's a lot of new treatments that are coming on, and the research is just expedited, thank God. So we're making some progress. Estrogen-positive breast cancer, now there's a lot of targeted therapies, which is attacking the tumor at a molecular level from inside the cell. So there are antibodies that are given with chemotherapy for certain types of cancer that are HER2-positive, and they are having extremely good response. There are pills that are molecular targets for estrogen-positive cancers that are showing a lot of promise. There's also some checkpoint inhibitors that basically allow your immune system to be able to fight the cancer. So those studies are being done, and they're showing really good promise. So they're going to go out into more phase 3 trials, and more women will benefit from it.
Now, Catherine Pearson Payton, you founded Mammosphere, which puts the imaging studies in the cloud. That was a really breakthrough idea. It was acquired by a company called Life Image. You continue to serve as a consultant to this concern. And this is something that, it's my understanding, this could improve accuracy of mammograms, improve efficiency. It really was a revolutionary idea that you came up with as a radiologist in this field of breast cancer imaging.
Well, thank you very much. Certainly in my practice of 20 years of radiology, I saw a tremendous number of women coming for a mammogram, and we were unable to give them an accurate diagnosis because their prior mammograms were simply not available. And this is the case in about 25% of screening patients, as well as 60% of diagnostic patients who present with a problem. And they're moving all over the country between different facilities and different providers and having different insurance, if they have insurance. And this is resulting in inappropriate care, because if we have those prior mammograms electronically accessible, we can pick up breast cancer 25% earlier, and we can reduce their false positive callbacks 60% and more.
Wow, that's fantastic. So Mammosphere technology was a big leap forward. Dr. Samian, at UF Health, are there other technologies that are now accessible to you that you're working with too?
As far as mammography, well, we definitely use digital mammography with tomosynthesis. Unfortunately, a lot of insurances don't cover that, but it is the future of mammography.
That brings me back to volunteers in medicine. Let's talk about that one more time. Catherine Pearson Payton, and by the way, for people that don't remember this, you are the wife of former Mayor John Payton. You are this month's Woman with Heart for volunteers in medicine. What they do is they provide insurance to the working uninsured of Duval County. And all this month, Catherine is wearing the, what are they calling it? The Heart of Jacksonville necklace?
Like the woman of heart.
The woman of heart, yeah. And so when you see Catherine around town, every day she'll be wearing this gorgeous heart-shaped diamond necklace as a way to tell the story of volunteers in medicine. And so many people work full-time but cannot afford health insurance. If you go to their website, vim-jax.org, you will see that Catherine is the October Woman with Heart. And she gets to wear the necklace all month. Unfortunately, at the end of the month, she has to give it back.
I do.
Which is very sad for Catherine, but that's okay. They're going to raffle this off in February. And if you get a $100 ticket to the gala, you might just get the necklace. Pretty exciting stuff. I might just have to buy a ticket for that. It's very beautiful, I have to tell you.
You can try it on right after this.
I might have to do that. Well, it is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and so this is wonderful advice from both of these breast health experts and clinicians. Ladies, thank you both so much for joining the program with this.
For women who don't have insurance, there's also other resources. Duval County Health Department mm-hmm. has a screening program for breast cancer and cervical cancer screening for young women. And if they do diagnose the cancer through that program, they will cover treatment.
So. Thanks for that. Mm-hmm. Layla Samian, UF Health. Catherine Pearson Payton, Woman with Heart, this month for volunteers in medicine. And we'll be right back.
I'm Tom Hudson.
And I'm Melissa Ross. From the State House to the Everglades to the Panhandle, Florida has a unique story.
So join us every Friday for the Florida Roundup.
And hear from newsmakers, journalists, and Floridians from all across the state.
About the issues that matter to you.
The Florida Roundup, Fridays at 1 on WJCT.
Why doesn't education use innovation to grow like a successful business? Join WJCT for a screening and discussion about this question and others. Raised in School, Inc., a personal journey with Andrew Coulson. This event will be held on Thursday, October 19th at WJCT Studios, beginning with an opening reception at 5:30 p.m. The event is free, but RSVPs are requested and can be made at wjct.org/events.
Welcome back. Well, if you're an up-and-coming company on the First Coast seeking venture capital and advice about growing, chances are you've knocked on the doors of PS27 Ventures. Next month, PS27 is hosting Leadership Week at UNF, where dozens of companies will come together to learn leadership skills and more. Jim Stallings is managing partner of PS27 Ventures, and he joins us more now with more about that and also a look at breakthrough innovations and trends he's seeing in everything from technology to artificial intelligence and more. Hey, Jim.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Good to see you.
Good to see you.
And what you're doing is so great. You're an incubator, a VC-type firm for a lot of exciting new concerns around town. And from what I understand, it's a very competitive process to be accepted by you and get your backing. And so since you and I last talked, I think you've been doing a lot. You've been growing a lot.
Yeah, we have. We've added quite a few new companies, several from the local area, some from surrounding areas like Gainesville. They're very exciting. We've just joined and partnered with a very interesting company called Fresh Jacks. They've got a spice business. They started some years ago doing a retail business and had a yoga studio, and they were creating some spices for themselves and for the restaurant. They put it out on Amazon, and it took off. Uh-huh. And we've been working with them to grow that. You know, with our relationship with Amazon here in Jacksonville, this is a fast-growing category of healthy spices that are organic and natural. People look at everything they eat these days. And this is a huge category. So we're partnering with them. We've also partnered up with a company called Blue Wave, which is uses a technology of ozone to kill germs. And, you know, kids and we get in hospitals and other places and we contract these infections. It's dangerous. It could be deadly if it's not treated properly. So they've created a little box, and you can take devices. It pulses ozone, and in 5 minutes, it kills 99.99% of all of the germs inside. This is the kind of stuff you use in space probes, you know, when astronauts go into space. They've got this now, so you can have it in the convenience of your home or in a gym or, you know, wherever you're transferring equipment from one person to another. So it's just fascinating. You've got patents. They're patented in 7 different countries now. Wow. But just a tremendous, tremendous company.
These are the incredibly brilliant, incredibly simple ideas that I always go, why didn't I think of that? If only I had thought of that, I would be the one coming to you and making lots of money.
Yes.
But of course, everybody's got a great idea, but very few are successful. Now, you have a whole series of benchmarks at PS27 Ventures. You don't accept everybody that comes to you for support. How does it work if a startup wants to work with you?
Yeah, you know, in the old days, we used to just meet with people. If we liked them and got excited, we'd make an investment. And what we've learned over the past 5 years is we use data. We hired some really bright people to come in, and they built a model for us. And it's a 100-point test that the presenter rarely knows is even happening. And basically, they assess what their skills are, their background, their subject matter expertise, their strategy, their vision, the quality of the product, all of that. It goes into this algorithm. It comes out, and it gives us a pretty good indication. What we've learned over some years is that the probability of success for a startup, 70% of it all is predicated on, is the founder a good leader? Are they flexible? Are they open? Can they pivot? Can they adapt? Can they focus like a laser when they have to? Can they change when they need to? 70% of it is sort of around that. It has very little to do with capital and do they get funded at the right time. It has everything to do with that. So that really gave birth to Leadership Week. When we discovered this, we said, let's put together a program that helps improve these skills of all these leaders so they have the best chance possible to have a very successful company. So we focus on emotional intelligence, how to manage stress when you're a founder, because you're going to be under a tremendous amount of stress, a lot of work. How do you effectively communicate to your shareholders, your biggest investors, your customers? Many of them haven't had the chance to call on CEOs, large companies. So we train them on how to do that and how to bring a team together, you know, how to build a sort of a SEAL team level camaraderie and culture in your company. And we think it's so critical in the beginning. This is the time you make this investment in leadership, not when you're off and running. It's very hard to change once you're off and running, you're well capitalized, you got lots of people around. We feel like the team has got to focus on culture, what this company is doing, why it's doing it, how it's going to execute, and who else is going to join this company over time. This is critical.
You have to get life. Those things right at the beginning.
At the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so you're going to be doing all of this at UNF in November. You're calling it Leadership Week. You're bringing 30 just getting off the ground companies together. All local companies?
No, that's what's fascinating about it. In the beginning, these were teams that we had partnered with or we were investing in. And we had a very direct interest in them being successful. What's happened over time is people came to us and said, look, can we be a part of this? We're not necessarily in a portfolio, but we'd like to be a part of this experience because we need to learn as well. So this year, for the first time, we're opening this up to outside companies. We've got them coming in from Gainesville, from the University of Florida Innovation Hub, one from Miami. We've got teams coming, of course, from Jacksonville. We've got, for the first time, an international company coming from Uruguay. It's a young man that founded a company. He's part of a national program. He's on scholarship to UNF, and he found us, and he's going through the program with his team as well. He's got a software company that manages assets for large enterprises. It's fascinating what he's built, and he's going to be in the program. So this is taken on a different focus for us because there are people beyond just local Jacksonville. It's national, now international.
Now, this is coming up gosh, in a couple of weeks. So there are still a few slots left available for people that see this opportunity. It's, if you go to Jim's website, ps27ventures.com/leadershipweek, you can sign up for the best leadership training experience designed exclusively for startups. This is November 6th through 9th at the UNF University Center. You can apply, but you're not automatically guaranteed acceptance.
Yeah, we interview every applicant. We get to know who they are, what their vision is. We ask a lot of questions about why they're building the company. And when we get convinced they're really committed to this, they're really focused, we invite not only the founder, we ask their entire team to come to this program. You know, we've all experienced our CEO going off to some seminar and coming back with a grand vision. What we've decided was, why not just with your CEO and founder, sit with them, build that vision together, and make it part of a team effort, not necessarily something just the founder experiences. We find it bonds the team. They go through a set of team building exercises where they get to know each other. They get to understand what emotional intelligence is. They mm-hmm. get to get an emotional intelligence score mm-hmm. When they go through. They go through a whole series of pre-assessment assignments. So it's an incredible opportunity to weld the team, to really get focused and come out of it charging into the market.
It's PS27 Ventures Leadership Week, November 6th through the 9th at UNF. Apply online at their website. This is a very cool opportunity if you're an emerging startup to get Jim's expertise from the corporate world. Jim, always so good to see you, and you're such a resource here on the First Coast. Thank you so much for being here with us, and I'm sure it's going to be an amazing week for these innovators that are looking to go to the next step in their journeys. Jim Stallings, good to see you.
Thank you.
In a moment, 4 days of music, camping, and old-style Florida fun at the Suwannee Roots Festival. We're going to head over to Live Oak for a live report. That's coming up right after the break. Keep listening.
The deadly wildfires in Northern California have burned well over 150 square miles. Thousands of buildings are destroyed not far from the wineries of Napa and Sonoma counties. It's unprecedented, but not unexpected. Fighting fires and saving lives, next time on 1A. Weekdays at 10 after First Coast Connect on 89.9 WJCT. Your community, your world.
On the next Fresh Air, our guest will be Jimmy Fallon, the host of The Tonight Show. He has a new children's book, his second. We'll talk about being a father, hosting The Tonight Show, dealing with politics and tragedies on the show, and the injury that nearly ripped off his finger and left him in the ICU for 10 days. Join us weekdays at noon on 89.9 WJCT. Your community, your world.
Next time on The World, the Paris Climate Agreement. When President Trump said the U.S. would pull out of it, this guy was ticked off.
It's wrong as a sort of matter of U.S. interest. It's wrong for the future of our kids.
As America's top diplomat in Beijing, he had to break the news to the Chinese.
And I just couldn't do it.
So he quit. His story on The World, this afternoon at 3 on 89.9 WJCT.
WJCT and the Florida Theater present Wildcrest live on stage at the Florida Theater, March 4th at 1 p.m. and 4:30 p.m. Watch the Krett brothers bring their creature adventure fun from the popular PBS Kids series to life on stage. Tickets available at floridatheater.com.
Hi, this is Keith Marks. Join me Thursday nights at 11 p.m. starting October 12th for Avant Radio. Curious music for curious minds. Only on 89.9 FM. Your community, your world, your music.
Welcome back. Well, finally this hour, it is 4 days of music, camping, and old-style Florida fun. The Suwannee Roots Festival kicks off today at the Spirit of Suwannee Music Park over in Live Oak. Festival director Beth Judy is on the line with more about it. Hey, Beth.
Hello. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for joining us. So you've got some roots music, some fun, and a lot more in this beautiful natural setting. Tell us what's going to be happening.
Well, we kick off at 3 p.m. this afternoon for Suwannee Roots Revival. This is our second annual of this particular incarnation. though we've been doing music like this for over 20 years here at this beautiful park. The first band you'll see today is The Adventures of Annabelle Lynn from Tallahassee, Florida, a trio of women who are just amazing. So you're going to be stunned right from the get-go if you can make it over today. But there are 4 days. We have Bela Fleck and Abigail Washburn who are headlining tonight, Chatham County Line, Joe Craven, The Revelers out of New Orleans. So we have a little bit of music for everybody.
And tell me a little bit about the history of this festival.
Well, this came about, my ex-husband Randy Judy and I produced 2 festivals at the park for almost 16 years, Magnolia Fest and Suwannee Spring Fest. And we took a sabbatical for a few years, and those festivals are no longer being produced here. And the park had asked us to come in and create something new, a little different, but with the with the same thoughts as from the past, but looking forward to the future. So we're really excited about offering this new festival for the second time.
Sure. And for people that have never been over to Live Oak and this particular park, tell us what they're going to experience, what it's like over there.
It's absolutely magical. There's no other word, and it's probably redundant and been overused, but the minute you enter the park and the festival, it's like your cares go away, and all of a sudden you're like a kid going someplace that you've looked forward to. The music is spectacular. The food and vendors have things that you can't find anywhere else. It's a beautiful natural setting. We have workshops where you can go, and if you play guitar or mandolin or bass, you can have hands-on training. We have so many great headliners. Peter Rowan with Dharma Blues and Jack Cassidy. Jack Cassidy is from Hot Tuna, Jefferson Airplane. That's tomorrow night. Mother's Fine is one of my favorite funk bands from the 70s. It's going to join us tomorrow night, and I'm really excited about that.
Excellent.
So, and we have so many other things. The Wood Brothers on Saturday, Steep Canyon Rangers, who you know have been touring with Steve Martin, although Steve won't be with us this weekend, but that band has been here before, and they are just awesome. We're going to do Verlin Thompson and Sean Camp are going to do a tribute to Guy Clark, do a set of his music on Saturday afternoon. Reverend Jeff Mosier is going to do a tribute set to Colonel Bruce Hampton, who passed away suddenly, actually during a tribute for his birthday at the Fox Theater.
And we've got a quick call for you from Chris in Avondale. Go ahead, Chris.
Hello, Beth. It's Chris McCall.
Well, hi, Chris. How are you doing?
I'm fine. I just wanted to call and say that the documentary Music Farmers that we did back in 2006-2007 aired here on the local WJCT airways back then. And if anybody wants to get a preview of what the weekend looks like, I think it's a decent representation of what they can expect for the weekend.
Oh, yeah, that's right, Chris. Thank you for that. Thanks for that reminder. And you know what else?
Actually, you can get copies of that documentary right here at the festival if you're interested.
Excellent. Also, a free kids music camp. There'll be dance lessons at the festival. Lots of fun stuff. Beth, Judy, it's such a pleasure to get you on the line from over there in Live Oak. Thanks for joining us. It's the Suwannee Roots Festival kicking off today at the Spirit of Suwannee Music Park in Live Oak. Festival Director Beth Judy, I know you're going to have a busy weekend. Thanks for giving us just a few minutes of your time and joining us this morning. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Melissa, for having me. And folks can look up at SuwanneeRootsRevival.com to get tickets and information about the festival.
Thanks so much. And that's our show. Thanks to all of our guests and callers. Our producer is Kevin Merschart. Michelle Corum runs the board during the hour. The show theme is composed and performed by the Jacksonville Symphony's Pyotr Chevchik. Never miss a show. Download the WJCT app and listen anytime. If you missed anything, you can listen to our rebroadcast tonight at 8 o'clock. Next on 1A, nearly every state west of the Rockies has a fire burning. I'm Melissa Ross, and you're listening to First Coast Connect on 89.9 WJCT FM Jacksonville. Your community, your world. We'll be back at 9 a.m. tomorrow for our Friday roundtable. Right now, let's listen to 15-time Grammy winner Bella Fleck and his wife Abigail Washburn, two of the headliners at the Suwannee Roots Festival. Have a great day. On the railroad, just to pass the time away. Can't you hear the whistle blowing? Rise up so early in the morn. Can't you hear the captain shouting? Dinah, won't you blow your horn? Dinah, won't you blow? Dinah, won't you blow? Dinah, won't you blow your horn? Dinah, won't you blow? Dinah, won't you blow? Singing FIFA, Filiao, FIFA, Filiao, oh, oh, FIFA, Filiao, Filiao, strumming on the old banjo.
Support for First Coast Connect is provided by Baptist Health and the North Florida TPO.